Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 55, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy, all. Father Corey Stika. Welcome to Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. Glad you could join us. We've got a couple of returning panelists, and one of them is really eager to talk about our topic today. So I'll say, how's it going, Barb?
Going great. I'm enjoying this summer where I can relax and read lots of books.
Yes, yes, that summer is great for that, especially for teachers like you. You know, you finally get a chance to breathe a little bit and kind of do fun reading instead of work reading, I suppose.
That is true.
And Steve's with us again. How's it going, Steve?
I'm doing great. I'm great. Thanks for having me back again.
Oh, always glad to have you back. Always glad to have you back. Glad to have both of you back. So as, you know, Barb said, you know, it's time to sit and read books because it's summer. And, you know, I think that's we're going to kind of talk about that today because, you know, that's one of my fun memories as a kid was, you know, get done with school and then I could get out the fun books, get out the novels, get out the things that I wanted to read, not the, you know, the textbooks and the stuff we had to read. This was, you know, I could kind of enjoy my time reading. I think, unfortunately, I'm like many Americans. I've gotten out of the habit of just leisure reading because we do so much reading on the internet and everything else, you know. But you, Barb, you know, you like you said, you're enjoying this time where you can actually read. Is this always what you look forward to in the summer?
It is. And, you know, speaking of leisure reading, I had noticed that I was having a hard time focusing on a book. And, you know, I've been so busy and then, you know, you're distracted by the internet and stuff. So that's where I really focused on setting myself a goal so that I can really complete a book and read. So I am enjoying that immensely.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's something I think, again, more of us need to do. How about you, Steve? Do you find yourself doing much reading? I know you're in a very busy period right now in your job, but do you find yourself doing much reading? Or?
Well, most of the pleasure reading I get to do is if I'm on a plane or something like that. I've created this, I don't know, this catch-22 sort of thing where I read before I go to sleep, but now I get sleepy as soon as I pick up a book. I get about a paragraph, and next thing I know, I'm staring off into space, wondering, imagining some sort of story other than what I'm reading. It's the strangest thing. It's like I rewrite the book in my head, and then I go, wait a minute, that's not what's on the page.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find you a beach so you can go and enjoy a good book.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm looking forward to it. Oh, gosh.
So Barb, as a teacher, of course, you're passionate about reading, and not just as a teacher, but I think as kind of a personal passion as much as mm-hmm. passion as your profession. You know, well, why do you think it's important?
Well, one thing I have been reading about is how a book can be seen as a mirror, a window, or a sliding glass door. Mm. So you would choose a book. And it would be a mirror of your own experience. And I do that. But lately, I've been reading a lot of books that are windows to my experience when I can look out and learn about a new culture, learn a new experience from somebody. Or a book can be a sliding glass door and where you can totally immerse yourself into that book. And that's something that when I'm reflecting back on my reading, I have noticed that, and that's really important to share that with, you know, when you're reading a book, sharing with your family what you've learned and discussing it. That's something that I have really enjoyed.
Hmm. Well, very good. Yeah. And of course, you're not just talking about, you know, both nonfiction books, you know, talk about learning about other cultures through nonfiction, but also through fiction as well. Fiction can be all three of those things.
That's true. Yeah. And my husband is a huge history buff. So when I'm reading some of this, like, wow, I didn't learn about this in, you know, in high school and college in my history classes. And he'll give me this big, long soliloquy about that. And it really helps me with my reading. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of historical fiction. I like to read about lots of different things. A lot of American history, Civil War, things like that are historical fiction based sort of on fact, sort of on sort of extrapolating, you know, personal events of somebody, you know, into a story. I really like those.
Mm. Yeah. I can like the history books, kind of like what you're talking about, Steve, where they tell the history, but they do it more in a narrative format. It's not, you know, of course, as a teacher, Barb, you know, the typical history textbooks where they're all facts and figures and numbers.
Right.
And there are so many great history books, especially. And I would argue, at least in my experience, books that have come out in the last 10 to 20 years where authors are starting to discover that they can tell the history well, but they do it in a way that is more telling the story of the history. It's not just telling the who was where, who went, who, what, when, where and why of history. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more interesting.
You know, I think of one book I had to read. This was actually when I was in college seminary for a history class. We had to read Theodore Rex, and it was about Teddy Roosevelt. It's part of a trilogy on Theodore Roosevelt. And very interesting, because, again, it wasn't just Theodore Roosevelt did this, did that. It told the story.
And hey, you remember who wrote that? Do you remember who the author?
I don't. And the funny part, of course, it's sitting about, you know, 20 feet on the other side of my bookshelf, and I can't, you know, I'll have to make sure to put it in the notes, show notes. But it was a very interesting book. And one of those on the list I need to pick up sometime again and read, because it's a great book.
Well, you should take part in the 40 book challenge.
Oh, now, what is the 40 book challenge?
That is the 40 book challenge. And I do this along with my students. I challenge them to read 40 books during the school year. Hmm. And it's amazing what they can do. Some of the kids are, you know, very intimidated by it. Some of it just grab onto it. Me personally, I've changed my goal to be 50 a year.
Hmm.
And right now I think I'm at 42. So. Yeah, 43. Wow. So I'm doing really well. But
43 in July?
No, for the year.
Oh,
school year.
I have a lot of time to read. Not that much.
I thought you meant like for 2019, you're already on 43.
Yeah. But, you know, it is having that goal has really inspired me, because then I'm looking for what's the next good book. Mm-hmm. And so I'm following, you know, librarians on Twitter and you know, my friends that are reading. But I challenge you guys, 40 books. And it doesn't have to be, as my husband, you know, teases me, he says, they don't have to be, you know, grown-up books. I read a lot of middle grade books, and that's for grades 3 to 7, I suppose. And they're really good stories, and there's no scandalous parts in there. And, you know, I just learn and just enjoy a good book.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's actually, you're talking about, you know, books to read. And I think a little bit later on, we'll kind of maybe have some recommendations outside of our picks of the week, but some recommendations of good books for people to read over the summer. But one of the thoughts I would think of is like the Narnia series.
Yes, you know, very popular. And our sixth graders read the first book and have a big, huge lesson with it. So
sure. Yeah, I was going to say, I think I was fourth grade when I read Lion, Witch, the Wardrobe, and fell in love with the world ever since, you know.
You were an early adapter.
Well, that's actually when we read it in school. We read it in school in fourth grade at that point. So,
wow.
But yeah,
I don't know how we ended up. We had the box set of paperbacks, you know. And my sister and I, we wore that out until it was falling apart.
That's great.
they're great books, and they're fairly easy to read, especially for adults. They should be very easy to read. But, you know, and it's just, yeah, I mean, we can set a goal, say, okay, I'm going to read 40 books in a year, you know, starting, of course, everybody always does like the January 1st, or, you know, we just passed July 1st, so we're halfway through the year, so I could start here and go from July to July, do the fiscal year or whatever. And of course, then they get the biggest, thickest book they can find. You know, I'm going to read Dante's Divine Comedy in, you know, and it's like, no, no, find something. If you're not in the habit, find something simpler.
Yeah. And I use the site Goodreads to mark my books. So, sure. Yeah. So that's, yeah. And it doesn't have to be big, fat books. It can be just, I even count picture books because there's lots to learn from picture books.
Oh, sure.
I may have to hire you to put together a reading list for me. You know, I had this this list of classics, you know, that I was supposed to read. And then I ran into Moby Dick. And I was like, I can't read this. I read about the first, I don't know, 50 pages. And I was like, oh, no.
You fell
asleep.
Never going
to get through this. I'm never getting through this. And then my whole project just fell apart.
Yeah. Well, you know, another resource, Catholic podcast that might have to have them on at some point, but Good Story Is Hard to Find, Julie Davis and Scott Danielson. I don't know if you've checked out that podcast, but it's a Catholic book podcast.
Oh.
They read a book and they talk about it. So I would, that might be a definite recommendation for folks. If, you know, if they're looking for possibilities for books, you know, what could they read? What could they, what's worth picking up? So just kind of throw that out there, you know, got to promote our fellow podcasters, even if they're not part of SQPN, but,
right.
So Barb, why would you say it's important to read again? You know, 'cause we read so much every day, you know, we're always on, all of us who are always on the internet, we're reading things all the time, but we're reading Facebook posts and we're reading blog posts and we're reading this article and we're reading that. But why was reading a book so important?
Well, what I had said earlier was to get your focus back into gear and finishing a book, but just to get the whole arc of a book. And I'm thinking of for a student too. For me, when I am encouraging my students to read, because it builds their knowledge, builds their background knowledge, helps their vocabulary. The books, I have been reading a lot of books on my iPad. I use a app called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, that our public library uses. So you don't have to go through Amazon's ebook Kindle site, but you can borrow a book instantly, and then you can press on the word, and it tells you the definition. So, I really like that because I, you know, learn vocabulary, especially if I'm reading a book about from another culture. But the big thing is, and especially for me and my students, it develops empathy. And reading about another person's life and their experience, just that empathy is just so important to encourage.
Right. Well, one thing I wonder too is so many, and not even kids, this is kids and adults, our attention span is so short right now.
Yeah.
Again, because of TV and the internet and YouTube and, you know, everything we watch and read is all quick, 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 quick. We don't even pay attention to the headlines. So I wonder if, you know, if getting in the habit of reading books helps to fix that.
I think so. Yeah, let's give it a try.
You know, because and of course, I'm sure somebody would have some study that's been done, but I'm sure just the fact of you're taking, you know, something that isn't a, you know, 30-second snippet of a video. It isn't a, you know, 200, 300-word article, but it's 200, 300 pages. Mm-hmm. And you have to have the focus to keep on that and remember, oh yeah, this links back to this part of the story and this goes to here and, you know, was this character. And
yeah, you're stretching your brain.
Yeah
I mean, I some physiologists I think could probably define this, but, you know, getting lost in a book is has a whole different feeling than getting lost in a movie.
And
I don't know, I can't define it, I don't know the words or anything, but it's a whole different, it's almost like an out-of-body sort of experience that you don't get with anything else.
You're immersed. And, well, and of course, the book is always better than the movie.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to remember if there's ever been a movie I've seen that the book actually was inferior, and I'm drawing a blank.
No, there isn't.
There have been a couple of movies that have been, in my opinion, fairly faithful recreations of the book, but they still had to leave things out of the book. Because really, a movie is more of a short story than it is a book, you know, so they have to cut so much out.
And then what? How you pictured the main character to be might have been different than, you know, who the director picked. So
exactly.
But that's okay. It leads to more conversations.
No, I did always love that as a kid, though, when I'd be reading a book and Tom Clancy was my author of choice as a kid. I ate up everything Tom Clancy put out. And it would get that point where it just get lost in it. And my imagination is going, I'm picturing everything's going on and I'm still reading the book. But I'm so focused on what my imagination has pulled. And it's a lost art.
I think I might have actually have an answer to your question about the movie being better than the book.
Oh.
And Hunt for Red October might be that.
Really? That's interesting. I would say that that's probably one of the more faithful recreations. I don't know if I would say it's better than the book.
But. Well, I think, you know, having Sean Connery as my image is a lot better than the one that I had in my head when I read the book.
True. Well, yeah, Sean Connery. I mean, that right there.
It's probably a tie. Let's call it a tie. But I think I'd rather watch that movie than read the book again. I don't know why.
Well, it is a fairly thick book, too, but.
But you know, when the book is done, especially a Tom Clancy book, I'm sorry, who is the one you said earlier? Did you say Tom Clancy?
Yeah.
Okay. Those big fat books, when they're done, you're just like, oh, so depressed, and then got to find the next good read.
Exactly. I just worked through this, and oh, I got to read another one. I got to do more reads.
Yes.
More reading.
See, you'll get to that 40 book challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly think, you know. Again, talking about when I was a kid, that would have been my summer. You know, if I could have spent every waking moment reading. And of course, Mom was like, no, go outside. We'll play.
Okay, you can read outside then, right?
No, I went out and played too. But
I remember as a kid, we used to ride our bikes at least a mile to our local branch library.
Oh, sure.
And they had a summer reading challenge kind of thing where they had this little certificate thing and they would stamp it as each book you read. And our goal was to get through the whole thing. And we didn't get anything for it other than a little certificate. You know, it wasn't like
you got a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Well, there was like four or five of us kids that were all neighbors, and we were all trying to make sure we all got it done.
Nice.
I read some really cool. I remember a lot of stories about Native Americans that I still remember. You know, like Cochise and things like that. That people that I never would have read about before, but I found those books in the library.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there's something about just browsing in a library. You can find some really cool books.
Yeah. Well, we had the Read It program. I think they still, I don't know if they still have that today or not, but you'd go get the Pizza Hut.
Book it.
Yeah.
Yes, with Pizza Hut. They do.
Yeah. We had the Pizza Hut treats. You know, you get set, go with your family to the Pizza Hut and you get a set of breadsticks or something like that as a treat, you know, something like that. So tried to always make sure to do that because it was always kind of special to accomplish that, and every parent's worst nightmare, but every kid's favorite thing was, of course, the Scholastic Book Club at school.
Oh, I love that. for me as a teacher, when the parents order, I get points.
Oh, so, there you go.
Yeah, so then I can buy books from them with those points. And it's amazing because I'll ask the kids, you know, what should I get? And you know, when the box comes, we open it up and we all say, oh, the smell of books, you know, make a big, huge deal about it. But they say a classroom library should have 30 books per child. Mm. And I was very curious how many books we had. So I said to the kids, you know, I have 30 students. I said, well, we should have 900 books. Let's count them all. And they all went, yay! So we spent like 10 crazy minutes, you know, every desk got 30 books. And then we counted the extra. We had 1,700 books in my classroom.
Wow. Whoa.
That's awesome. You know, if they say, I can't find anything to read, I'm like, well, look a little harder.
Yeah. And that's just your classroom. That's not even counting the library. And
yeah, just my classroom. So, but yeah, it took 10 minutes to count them all. It took me about, you know, a couple of weeks to get them all back in the right spot.
Oh, I was going
to
say. The easy part's taking them down and counting them. The hard part's putting them back in order.
Yes.
Now, Barb, do you read to your do you read stories to your students?
Oh, absolutely. I love read alouds. And my favorite author is Kate DiCamillo. And the way she writes just is perfect for reading aloud because I can just get into the story. She wrote The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane and the other one, Mouse. Oh, see, that's why I wanted to make a note. The most recent one she did was Louisiana's Way Home. And she was raised by her grandmother. And in the middle of the night, Grandma says, "We're leaving." So she jumps into the car and they just have these crazy adventures. And it's sad, but it's so fun to experience as a class. And then when I refer back to something later in the school year, like, oh, yeah, I remember that from this book. It's just a great experience. And the kids can just sit and listen. And there's a whole audiobooks are really good. They say it takes more, I don't want to say brain power, but it just takes an extra level of brain power to listen to the book and hear, make those pictures in your head.
Yeah.
I have one vivid memory of that when I was in second grade, maybe. And our teacher read Where the Red Fern Grows to the class.
Aww.
And watched 40 kids go into total meltdown. Just sobbing and wailing at that book.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it was a class experience, and you still remember it.
I still remember. The book was probably about 10 years old then, so it was still fairly new.
Yeah.
But I remember that vividly, because just pain and anguish for a second grader.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, there's probably a lot of people listening who aren't reading. So, Barb, what would you recommend for someone who wants to, you know, let's do this. Let's do the 40 books in a year. What are some recommendations you would have for someone like that?
Well, I want to make sure they don't forget the graphic novels. And that is something that is just red hot. Everybody's got to have a graphic novel. Oh, yeah. And you guys probably called them comics, but now they're known as graphic novels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they just tell a really good story. And the one that I wanted to recommend was called New Kid, and it's by Jerry Craft. And it's a young man that goes to a new school and fitting in. And his background, the diversity of the school and how the teachers react to him. And that's a quick read. You guys can read that. but should I go ahead with some of my middle grade books? Because they're shorter.
Yeah, please.
This book, Refugees by Alan Grants. And he can write a good story. And he takes three children, follows them through their experience. One is a Jewish boy in Nazi Germany. One is a Cuban girl in 1994. And then one is a boy from today in Syria. So all three of these are refugees. And it's written in, you know, each section of the book is that child's voice and their what they're going through. But then there is a twist at the end, and I love this book. There's a former student of mine. He's going to be in eighth grade this year, and I would see him in the hall every so often during the past school years, and we'd always talk books. So I'd say, "Mark, I read Refugees. I was so shocked at that twist at the end." And he said, "Ah, Mrs. Gilman, I knew it was coming." So he schooled me, but that's
there's always
really...
that person that figures it out.
He reads so much, he kind of knew something was going to happen, or he was familiar with the author. I don't know, but when I was reading that, I didn't realize the Cuban girl's story. I didn't remember the experience for that. And then in Syria, my husband was helping me explain, you know, that whole history there. So that could be a whole family book. This one, it's called The Benefits of Being an Octopus. And she's Anne Braden. And Zoe is the little girl. and raised in poverty. She has to take care of her siblings as her mother works. But I'm still can remember just the pain that she felt throughout this book, but how a teacher reached out to her, helped her. She joined the debate team, and you know, at first little Zoe was like, oh, rolling her eyes, I don't want to be in this. But then she realized the benefit of being, you know, learning about debate, and she was able to take part in a debate about guns. And there's another twist at the end, so you'll like that. My next one is Amal Unbound by Ashid Said. And this girl, Amal, she was forced into indentured servitude in Pakistan because of to help pay for her father's debt and the family's debt, being a farmer. I didn't realize that that is something that still happens today.
Oh, yes.
In Pakistan, I feel like I live under a rock. I read these books, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's, so that I learned a ton about Pakistan. In my last middle grade one, Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus. And it's the author's, the author's name is Dusty Bowling, and that's her name, Dusty Bowling.
That's funny.
And that was a really good book. The little girl was born without an arm, and she had a plucky attitude, just a great young girl. It was, you know, the seventh and eighth grade year, which can also be awkward, but then her family moves. So that's the hard part. And she had to, you know, find her place in the new school. Here she's arriving into a new school with, you know, and everyone's like, how did you lose your arm? You know, and so she always has this crazy, you know, well, I was in this big fight with a, here I am doing chopping motions with a ninja. Yeah. But no, she ends up making friends with a boy who has Tourette's syndrome. So I learned about Tourette's syndrome there too. So those books just, you know, they're just a good story. I learn something about different people. So, you know, don't put your nose up at a middle grade book, or even some of the young adult books are good, except young adult books sometimes have a little too much scandal. So I don't always read those.
There's some issues in some of the young adult books. I can't remember what series it was recently that had come out, and there were some real problems with it. And it's just, it's kind of hit or miss. And there's some great books that are written to that level. And there's some that you better watch them because they're pretty
and it's
pretty
okay
dangerous
to put down a book and abandon it, because there's not enough time to there's so many books, so little time. So if you find out this book isn't reaching you, just abandon it and pick another one.
I've always taken the 100-page rule.
Oh, that's a good one.
Give the book 100 pages. If you're having a hard time with it, might be best to set it aside and come back to it later. I did have one book series, you know, of course, the infamous Song of Fire and Ice, also known as Game of Thrones. And tried to read the book and the series, and it is horrible. I'm sorry. I've never seen the show, because if it's anything like the book, it's terrible. I mean, just horrible. So, I mean, yeah, I've done that before. I've put down books. But so we've kind of started recommendations. Just kind of, you know, I throw a couple of recommendations I might have too. You know, of course, I'm not as widely read as Barb is by any stretch of imagination. But I mentioned earlier the Narnia series. Again, that's more of a middle school age series of books. But there's very much a lot of Christian allegory in it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why C.S. Lewis wrote it, was to kind of tell the Christian story without being explicitly telling the Christian story. You know, so there's a lot of, you know, Aslan is the Christ figure, and redemption and scandal and the fall. And there's a lot of that. C.S. Lewis was very good for that. They're easy reads. They're short books. Matter of fact, I've got the big compendium, you know, the night with the nice art and everything inside of it and everything. And it's just, you know, a beautiful book to sit and read. But you can also get the little small paperbacks that you could wear out, you know, over the course of multiple reads. You know, kind of along that lines, of course, you know, if you want to talk more adult, although I read this in kind of, what was it, junior high, high school era? The Lord of the Rings, you know, got to mention the great J.R.R. Tolkien, you know. Of course, you know, if you know me, being on Secrets of Doctor Who and Secrets of Star Trek, fantasy, you know, science fantasy and science fiction are kind of my thing. So these kind of fit in well with that. But of course, you know, The Lord of the Rings, again, another wonderful Christian story. So steeped in his Catholicism, you know, so much of the message of it is the message of Catholicism.
And that's such a complex book, isn't it? With all the characters.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's just filled with just wonderful characters and stuff. You know, if you've seen the movies, you know, the basic storyline, but this is definitely one where the books are better than the movies. So much better, in my opinion. Just wonderful, wonderful things. And of course, there are great, just, you know, other recommendations are, you know, just there's some great biographies, especially of the saints. Pulled up a Story of the Soul, St. Teresa of Lisieux, you know, fairly easy read. And it's a good story. And I'm sure Steve could recommend another saints biography to read that we had mentioned quite a while ago.
Oh, yeah. The Shepherd Cannot Run. By Maria Scapperlanda about Blessed Stanley Rother.
Yeah, we had her on quite a while. I can't remember how long ago it was. That was a couple of months ago, anyways.
Yeah.
But that's another great read. Any other recommendations?
Oh, well, Steve, you mentioned Lord of the Rings, and when I was in high school, I ran across a couple of trilogies by an author named Stephen R. Donaldson. It's called the Thomas Covenant series. It's not as well known, but it reminds me a lot of Lord of the Rings. With there's a lot of similarities, but it's a very different story. And the protagonist is a fallen individual that has leprosy, and he finds himself in this fantasy world, and he doesn't believe anything that he sees, or, you know, he thinks he's kind of dreaming it, and or this kind of thing. But it's very much a story of about good and evil, with a really fallen protagonist. I've read it several times. I always gravitate toward it when I need something like that, you know, where you want the hero to, you know, to be successful at the end.
Yeah.
The hero wins and the enemy loses and everybody rejoices.
But I'm like you, Father. I like the historical fiction, and I like science fiction, and I like some of the fantasy stuff. A little bit of it just goes, you know, how many books about dragons can you read? So I don't go full bore into that side of things, but only if it's recommended by someone. But that's my escape reading is, I don't read a lot of contemporary stuff just because I'm trying to escape the current situations usually.
Well, and I think that's
for
important.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, for me, for the contemporary read, I have to make sure that it's a good book, because sometimes people recommend a book and it's like, no, that's not a good book for me. Yeah. So I kind of wait for like a year. And then I was like, more and more people are reading it. So,
well, that's been kind of a controversy in the science fiction realm, is there's been a lot of books that are, you know, contemporary books, and they've won awards, and the reviews, other than the ones that are reviewing it, because it's supposed to be a book that you review well, people who read it will say, this isn't really that great of a book. It's the only reason why it won an award is because of this thing or that thing or this, or, you know, and that's not a reason to read a book.
You know, I have a Twitter friend. She goes by Franciscan Mom on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Barb. And we must be read-alikes, because whenever I read something, I'm like, oh, I love this book. She'll read it, and she'll love it, too. And then whenever she reads something she loves, she tells me, and we both agree. So it's so nice to have someone who can personally recommend a book that you can trust them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and one thing, Steve, you kind of brought up is you know, just escaping, reading to escape. And, you know, as much as we learn and we grow by reading, sometimes reading really is just the best entertainment, just the best way to pass time, you know?
Much more engaging than a TV show.
Yeah. And we, You know, obviously, we talked about that earlier, but with our imagination. So, Barbara, are there any other recommendations you would like to do?
My grown-up book choices. Yeah, absolutely. My adult books. I just read Educated by Tara Westover, and it's her memoir of growing up in Idaho, and her parents were survivalists. And I, you know, don't have much experience of Idaho and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a survivalist, but wow, did she write a book? And she was, actually, she was, you know, there were 7 kids and the last 4 were birthed at home and they didn't have a birth certificate. And she didn't get a birth certificate till she was 9. So, and her family was unschooled, you know, not homeschooled, unschooled.
Yes.
But then she realized, I want to be educated. So she taught herself algebra so she could take the ACT. You know, she was fine with, you know, the reading section, but she knew she couldn't pass the math section. And so she passed and, went to Brigham Young. But then she went on and she got her PhD. So it was inspiring. Yeah. But the family dynamics, wow. There was some scenes in here. This is definitely for an older, an adult to read because have you heard the term gaslighting where someone, you know, says, oh, no, that didn't happen. They did a lot of that in that family. So she was a very brave woman. The other one I read, and I think it came out last year, We Were the Lucky Ones by Georgia Hunter. And it's a Polish-Jewish family during World War II. The whole family survived. Totally. I mean, this did not happen during World War II. That the whole family could survive. One son was in Siberia. One son went to Brazil. One son was in, in Warsaw and the ghetto, and they all ended up surviving and then they later reunited. But great granddaughter wrote the story. She was at, they were having her graduation party and they were talking about, you know, the history. And she's like, what? Grandpa? What? And so she, because, you know, a lot of the people from World War II didn't share that experience with the grandchildren. And so she heard it and she wrote a fantastic book. And my last one, it explicit language, it's Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. But it was about him being raised in during apartheid and post apartheid. And once again, I didn't know a lot about this, but boy, did I learn. And he, very insightful how, once again, he was very lucky having his mother who valued education, that he was able to rise above. But boy, those are 3 books that I really enjoyed this summer. I read those this summer so far.
Wow.
Yeah. There I go.
Yeah. Some great, great recommendations. You pick up everything we recommended, you'll be reading till next year, this time next year, maybe. Yeah. You'll get your 40 books in, that's for sure.
At the rate I read right now, that's probably true.
Not now. But, you know, get an audio book. Those have been, those are really, really good because, but they do take more time, I guess. But in August, grab an audio book.
Right. The pastor of my parish, our church is the farthest Western parish in our diocese. And so my priest is always going back and forth to Tulsa and he reads a lot or listens to a lot of audiobooks. And he always posts it on Facebook and stuff. Well, I just finished this one. Now I'm picking up this one. And he gives them away to people or somebody puts in the church library. But his reading is almost exclusively audiobooks now because he's got a lot of time to kill in the car.
Yeah.
Now, Father, you live in Montana. You must have a lot free time road time.
Quite a bit. You know, fortunately, I don't have to go visit the chancery. I don't have to go visit the Great Falls too often. So that's not too bad. But just like on Sunday Mass or whatever, I definitely have a bit of windshield time there. So yeah, good podcast listening time too as well. But
That's true.
Well, is there anything else either you'd like to share before we go on to our break and then pick of the week? Hmm. All right.
Well, I'm not sure what to say.
I do know for middle grade children and or adults who want to read middle grade books, almost all the states, the librarians have a recommended list of books, or each year they have some books and then the kids read and vote on them. In Nebraska, we call it the Golden Sower books. And in Texas, they have the Blue Bonnet Award. So that's something, if you're looking for some new hot books, you know, you can, for your child or for yourself, yeah, you can Google that. And I put that in our notes too.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure to get all these notes to Dom so we can get all your recommendations and your links in our show notes. There's going to be lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of show notes for everyone. So. Well, very good. No, good discussion. And once again, I want to thank everyone for listening to Let's Talk. Glad you join us for this great podcast. We enjoy putting it on for you. We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoy making it. And I hope that you're also checking out our other SQPN community podcasts. You know, if you want a great recommendation, actually, as a new podcast, if you really want to learn about American history, about the Catholic Church in American history, we now have the American Church History Podcast. Tom and Noel go through different events, different people in Catholic history within the United States. It's a short podcast, only 10 minutes. It's a great little podcast. It's a lot of fun to listen to. It's very interesting, some interesting topics. Matter of fact, they just had the second episode talks about the issue of the confessional and privacy of the confessional and not having to report to the government, you know, and that what's said there is kept confidential, very topical for issues going on in our country today. So do check that out. Check that podcast out and let us know what you think of it and let them know if you have any recommendations for topics for that. But you can check that podcast and all our SQPN podcast at sqpn.com, our website. But you can also find all our podcasts on Spotify. We now have all our podcasts are available on Spotify. You can log into your Spotify account and search for SQPN Inc., SQPN INC, and you'll find all our great shows there. You listen to there. If you're a Spotify listener, that's a great way to do it. Of course, you can also find our podcasts on all the different, you know, Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, and Google Podcasts, and other great podcast apps. So check them out there. And please give us a Give us your likes and your comments on YouTube and Facebook and other places where you can, especially in Apple Podcasts. If you can give us a review, we greatly appreciate that. Also want to encourage you, if you do enjoy our podcast, please do support us. We need your financial help to keep these shows on the air. You know, we're volunteers, but we still have expenses that need to be met here at SQPN. So we want to encourage you to go to sqpn.com/give to contribute to our Patreon campaign. And in fact, I would like to thank some of our patrons as we've been doing. Thanks to Colleen R., Evan S., Marika D., Father Daryl, and Matt M. Thank you and all of our current Patreon patrons for contributing and helping us keep SQPN on the air. And again, encourage those who aren't to check out our Patreon campaign and help us out as you can. So again, we're going to switch over now to our picks of the week. Steve, would you like to go first?
Sure. No, I have a list. So picks of the week. Well, I went with books. Okay, since we're talking about books. So, historical fiction, if you're looking for something that's going to tie you up for a good year, then read the Patrick O'Brien series, the Aubrey Maturin series of sea novels. So if you've seen the movie Master and Commander, it's based on that. I started reading book one, and next thing I knew, I think I'd read all 16 of them. It'll take you a solid year to read all of them. And then as far as I don't know, nonfiction, the last book that I read that really just captivated me and that I just sort of read from cover to cover was one by Bishop Robert Barron, A Fire on the Earth. And it's kind of, it talks about how his his method of evangelization using truth and beauty. And it was a great book. I just started, it was the last book that I remember that I just started reading and I couldn't put down. I can't really explain why. I loved it. Loved every bit of it. So there you go. Those are my two picks. Excellent. Book realm.
Yeah, I'll definitely echo anything by Bishop Barron. He's an excellent author. Barb, do you have any I'm sure you've got plenty of recommendations, but
I'm gonna go a little differently. I'm gonna talk about twine rosary making. And I learned how to make rosaries from Greg and Jennifer on Rosary Army. And you can still find out how to make it on their website. And I've been making rosaries since 2007.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I think, really great memory. I wanted to make them for my students. So that's how I started making rosaries. And my mom was going through chemo when she had colon cancer. I remember sitting next to her making rosaries, and then she'd be smiling, and people would come up and say, "What are you doing?" And my mom would say, "Oh, she's making rosaries." And she'd have this big smile on her face. I'm thinking, gosh, I must have made, I probably made about 500 rosaries throughout these years. But the big pick is one of my great source of twine are the rosary ladies, the Divine Twine. And they're going out of business. They're retiring on August 15th. So if you want any rosary twine, you know, their website is number36twine.com. So I'll have to, you know, once they retire, I'll have to go back to just buying the spools and cutting it myself. It's sure nice to have. I just got 40 strands delivered in the mail Saturday. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I went to their website and looked at it, and they have the instructions for my favorite style of rosary, which is the ladder knot one.
Oh, I've never done that.
I love that's my favorite because it makes the spacing of the knots very simple. When you the single knot ones, I can't get them spaced right. They look terrible. They're awful.
Well, and I make a lot of rosaries when we're on trips, and then this last week we went on a little getaway to Denver. So I'm making rosaries, and I wasn't paying attention, and I took a picture of it. It's on Instagram. I think had 6 Hail Marys and an Our Father. So I always have a nightmare the night before I give them to my kids. I always give them on October 1st, and I have a nightmare that, you know, one of these rosaries will only have 9 Hail Marys or 6 Hail Marys, but I caught it before I finished.
There you go. That's funny.
I made one once that one decade actually had 11 knots. And I just said, well, that's an extra one just for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Very good. Very good pick. For my pick, I'm actually going to recommend an episode from a different podcast, and not an SQPN podcast, but a podcast I enjoy nonetheless. I'm a fan of the Art of Manliness. You know, of course, if you're familiar with that website, there's a lot of, you know, really good stuff on there. You know, it's about how to be really a virtuous man, you know, how to be a virtuous man and how to enjoy the good things in life, you know, because it's not macho manliness. It's manliness in, you know, how to be, giving and things like that. You know, how to be virtuous. I mean, they really are seeking out what it truly means to be a man, not just to be a macho person. And so this particular episode is episode 522. It's on wit. The title is, What is wit, and why does the world need it? You know, of course, when we think of wit, we think of somebody who's witty. It means they've got a good sense of humor. They're good with puns. They're good with the one-liners. And that's really part of it. The way the author that they interviewed, James Geary, who actually had been a journalist and now had written this book, it's an improvisational intelligence. So improv comedy is wit. He says that jazz music is wit. You know, the improv solos that they do is wit. Music, you know, like the dueling banjos, you know, the duel between the two of them, that's wit. He even says, you know, like you've heard the the your mama jokes where they're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's wit, because it's all improv. It's all off the top of your head. It's, you know, it's using your intelligence. But there's also people talk about being quick-witted where they have a fast reaction. You know, somebody's quick-witted when something happens and they're able to react very quickly. You know, it's a very interesting conversation. It's a 40-minute podcast, very much worth listening to. And I think obviously it would be more than just for men. I think, you know, both men and women could learn from this. It's worth so check it out. I listened to it driving the other day and really enjoyed it. It was a very interesting conversation. So check it out. So that's What Is Wit and Why Does the World Need It? Well, thank you both again for coming on. It's always great to have you both on. Barb, where can people hear more of your wit?
Well, I'm Barb in Nebraska on Twitter and Instagram. So that's where they can find me.
And put you on the spot again, Steve.
Look me up on Facebook.
There you go.
Steve no Gallison. More blog, right? Blogs are dusty.
It's out there, and I have every intention.
Blogs are hard because they take effort. I know.
Yeah.
They take a lot more effort than dashing off a quick Facebook post. Well, I'm Father Corey Stika. Again, you can find me at my blog where I post my homilies, frcorey.org. Find me at Facebook at Father Corey Stika. Twitter handle is frcoreystika. If you have any feedback for us, if you'd like to comment on our topic, if you have any book recommendations, we definitely would love to hear those, or any other topic that we've had on Let's Talk, you can send our feedback at letstalk@sqpn.com. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.